Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I'm your host. You know the websites, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, and FamilyPetAncestry.com. They all lead to a variety of places where you can listen to the Dork Forest. I'm Jackie Cation. I'm your host. It is November or December. In November and December, I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest. You instead find a local food bank and give them either the $10 to $100 that you were going to give the Dork Forest, because I know you were, because I have a PayPal button that you can start donating to again in January. But to find a local food bank in your neighborhood, you can go to feedingamerica.org and you can put in your zip code. If you do not live in the United States, you can put in the name of your town and the word food bank, and it will come up. You can do that here in the United States as well, oddly enough. The internet works like that everywhere, it turns out. So do that. Don't donate to the Dork Forest. If you want to support the Dork Forest still in these months, there are ways. You can get stuff for people for the holidays as trinkets, as gifts. You can get t-shirts and CDs and merch over at JackieCation.com on the store. There's going to be a new stand-up shirt coming out, and that actually will not benefit me. That'll be a benefit for different charities, I think, is what that's going to be. All of it's available digitally. You know, iTunes and Amazon, and Comedy Film Nerds has my DVD as a downloadable video, comedyfilmnerds.com. But if you want hard copies of the DVD of the CDs, you can get them at JackieCation.com. I also have a stand-up comedy t-shirt, my Spooky Reading Girl t-shirts. I have Dork Forest t-shirts and Ranger of the Dork Forest t-shirts. I have hoodies in stock. It is winter. And so if you want a hooded sweatshirt, zip hoodie, I actually have all the sizes in stock. You can email me, Jackie@JackieCation.com, to make sure that they are still in stock at any time, of course. And I will tell you if they are, and if they aren't, it would be back order and it might be a while. So know in your heart. Other than that, another way to support the show, if you because you're not donating in November and December, is to continue to use the Amazon banner on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com. There is a link to support the show, and all it is it's a link through to Amazon. And you order normally, like you would from Amazon. The Dork Forest just gets a little bit of a kickback for your order. It doesn't cost you extra at all. You can see my calendar, where I'm doing stand-up comedy. You can always follow me on Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook. The Facebook page is Jackie Cation hyphen Joke Smith. That's my fan page. If you have listened to all 600 and whatever episodes of The Dork Forest and would like more Dork Forest, there are premium episodes, probably a dozen of them. And they are, in the last couple of years, if I do a live episode, it usually costs me some money. So I have been putting them up on Bandcamp, and they cost money. They cost $2 a pop. But if you go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, you can see those different shows. They're usually live episodes around the world. And there is also four stories on a sort of a handmade storytelling album that I made over there too. And those are just a buck each. So if you want to go to Bandcamp, you can do that as well. Oh, why don't I do the credits? The Dork Forest is not made possible just by me, Jackie Cation. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio, by God, and it's going to be great. And Mike Rickberg sang that song you just heard. He composed and sang it with his wife, Sarah Cohen. He will sing his words to the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. And Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He does the website. Go to allthingscomedy.com and find other podcasts there. I also have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show with Laurie Kilmartin on the Nerdist Network. Dorks, nerds, we're all in this together. The Jackie and Laurie Show is literally Laurie Kilmartin and I discussing and just essentially just going off about stand-up comedy. So if you like stand-up comedy, you might like the Jackie and Laurie Show over on Nerdist. Anyway, let's get into this show because it's awesome. Hey, you guys, this episode of The Dork Forest has a sponsor, and it's Sudio Sweden headphones. I'm wearing them right now. Sudio, S-U-D-I-O, Sweden, spelled like Sweden, .com/US/. There'll be a link in the notes. Here's the thing about these headphones. They're really nice. I like them. They sent me a pair of on-ear ones and earbud ones. They sent me two sets of headphones. They're both very nice. My favorite ones are the on-ear ones because they're slightly more noise-reducing for me, though I think they have specific noise reduction headphones. These ones are just regular headphones. They're super clear, very nice, but my favorite thing about them is that these on-ear ones, anyway, are wireless and wired. Yeah, so I can wear them and listen to my phone, right, as I walk around, as I go for a walk or work out, or, yes, when I work out, you guys, and when I'm in the airport. And then when I get on the plane, I can plug the wire from the headphone jack into the headphone jack on the plane. And so they're both wireless, very convenient, not knocking around my chin with a wire, or wired when I'm sitting down somewhere and when I edit The Dork Forest, which I do edit. I don't work out, but I edit. So what I do is I'm recommending Studio Sweden headphones, and you can get 15% off, which is a pretty good deal for a really nice pair of headphones. 15% off if you use the code DorkForest. You'll know that code because you're listening to The Dork Forest. Now, let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation in the living room with Dan Black, stand-up comic, New York City, has his own podcast, Dan Black.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. We just did,
Oh, right.
Yeah, and
yeah, that was
super
a blast.
Fun. And we hadn't run into each other in a long time.
Yeah.
I was like, you got to come do the pod. And you're like, tomorrow.
We talked about it a while back.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about Magic, the
yep.
Gathering, which
Magic
we were going to discuss today.
Which is the pod of choice.
Yeah.
So it's at DBlackAttack.
Yeah, it's my Twitter handle.
And at Dan Black Attack on Instagram.
Yeah.
Is there a Dan Black .com? I forgot.
DanBlackComedy.com.
Okay, there you go.
For, so, if you want to check my reel,
you want to see my chops. Right, see maybe your schedule. Maybe your schedule is
yeah.
on Dan Black Comedy.
I should update it more, but yeah.
And then this will go end of November, and so November 28th, you do a show.
November 30th.
November 30th, so you're doing a show called Date Night.
Yeah.
Which with your lady.
Yeah, me and my wife, Jamie Lee, we host a stand-up show at UCB. It's monthly at this point.
Can I do it?
And the yeah,
why
absolutely.
Why have I never done it?
You're on. We have a booker, and I know you're 100% on the list because I checked it
go.
On my way over here.
Oh, there you go.
Because I was like, why hasn't she done the show yet?
Fair enough. So it's at UCB, though. And
it's
so
at UCB Franklin.
Franklin in, yeah. in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And then you're going to tape your half hour of just stand-up to submit to Kelt.
That's right,
Central.
On November 30th.
On November 30th
so check that
as
out.
Well. So
yeah.
Go watch Dan Black do a lot of stand-up comedy
yeah.
in a row at UCB Franklin.
That's right.
Fun. Okay, let's get... Oh, and you have a podcast called The Comedians
yes,
of Wrestling.
Yes, so I'm also a nerd for professional wrestling and magic. I think if uh-huh. people had to define me, they'd be like... He's like, hey, he talks about magic and wrestling. but yeah, it's called The Comedians of Wrestling Podcast. It's on UCB Comedy Network. Coming at you.
Coming at you. So yeah. there you go. And what's funny is I've done a couple different episodes about wrestling, and wrestling dorks are one of the several kinds of dorks that never stop talking.
Absolutely.
Where I'm like, I'm turning it off. Get out. And
was
so,
Mike Lawrence did it, right?
Yeah, Mike Lawrence did it, but it was Mike Schmidt and Andy...
Right.
Haynes, maybe?
Andy Haynes, yeah.
Whatever. One of the Andes of comedy. And it was a great episode, but it went like almost 2 hours because I could not get them. For some reason, there was no stopping point. But
yeah.
Since
Well,
then,
Mike did my podcast this week. That's
oh
why
my
I
God,
said that. Mike
that's
Lawrence.
Hilarious.
And I am like a talker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I dominate conversations
yeah.
in a way that I'm not proud of, you know. And I could Mike was just on a roll, and I loved it.
Yeah.
It was so funny. It had the hottest takes on wrestling ever.
Oh,
it was great.
And Mike Lawrence is a damn delight, you guys.
Yeah.
So if you listen to is that coming out soon or is that out?
That's out. That came out on this Thursday.
So it'll be so out when
it'll
this
be super out.
Out. Comedians of Wrestling, Mike Lawrence. Check out that episode because I'm sure if you like wrestling at all or if you just like funny.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the minutia was quite a door. So Magic the Gathering, I have played.
Yes.
I learned how to play because the booker knew how to play, and he and it was a reason to hang out with him.
Yeah.
At the Minneapolis Comedy Club where I came up.
That was your way in. Did you want to play, or were you just like hey, this is a way to like get in with the booker?
Both. Because I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And I certainly didn't know that it was a financial commitment.
It certainly is.
And so I don't know. Eventually, he built a deck for me. He taught me how to play. This is 94, 95.
Yeah.
So, so on and off, I was playing.
That's
and
really early.
Yeah, that's like
that's right when it came out.
Right when it came out. Yeah, he works for the guy who booked, who used to book Acme.
Right.
He works for Wizards of the Coast now.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, like he literally was like, I gotta go.
And what's his name?
His name is Greg Matthews.
Don't know it.
Anyway, so he's a good guy. Anyway, so, but he is, so that's how I learned.
Right.
And then I didn't play. When he stopped booking, I stopped playing.
Yeah.
And then I got married and I met my fella, and he turns out plays Magic the Gathering.
That's interesting. So, yeah, that's kind of how it happened for me.
2003. Jamie Lee plays Magic the Gathering?
Jamie Lee absolutely hates it. She abhors it. Not a fan.
There's some mocking. Sure.
It's all around the house. Literally, like, if you walk around my house, you'll see, like, mana on the floor. Because you can't keep track of the cards. There's so many cards.
Just loose. I send out with every order from the Dork Forest, feel free to order. When you order a t-shirt or a CD or whatever from JackieCation.com, you get green mana, and I sign it Rangers because they're called Rangers of the Dork Forest. That's
right.
They've named themselves the fans of the Dork Forest.
You send them a forest.
I send them a forest, and I send them forest mana.
That's great.
And I just sign it.
Do you send full art or half art? I mean, come on.
Full art.
Yeah, that's great.
Wait, what's the difference? Wait, how do I not know?
I mean, should I dip into my sack?
Please. He brought luggage, you guys.
I'll show you.
You're not going to see it, but it's clearly, it's easily, you could, it would be carry-on.
This is a,
but it's luggage.
But this is like a super, this podcast, we go real deep in it, so I won't just say it's luggage. This is a Pirate Lab messenger bag, the new one, which I bought, and I can't recommend it enough. This company, Pirate Lab, I have no, I'm not sponsored by them or anything.
No, you should be, obviously.
They make bags that are like four card players, like collectible card players.
Oh,
and they're
really
amazing. Like if you look here, look how it's laid out.
Oh my God.
So
that might be Andy's Christmas present.
Honestly, it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great bag.
Okay.
But let's see, I don't know, I'll randomly open a deck. Let's see what a full art is. Sometimes it's full art. Anyway, so well here's a half art. See?
Oh. Yeah. No, I send half art because I buy essentially the pictures on the top, a giant tree on the bottom.
Right.
And then because the first design of the Dork Forest T-shirt, by the way, I did. And it was these forests. They were Magic the Gathering forest logo forests.
Right.
And it was just five of them. And it said Ranger of the Dork Forest. And then my nephew, Salmon Beemel Benrode, graduated from art school. And he made the current Ranger T-shirt because he was like, as a gift, can I fucking fix that? And I was
hilarious.
The
shirt is great.
It's cool. It's got all dorky, different dorky things coming out of the forest. Anyway, so this is half art. What's full art?
That's a foil. A full art.
That is a foil. It's hard to find one.
I know.
Is it a special? Is it like one of the specials?
Well, so if we want to get into it, they in the set called Zendikar, which is a land-based set.
Yes.
Is
that a new set?
It came out in about 2010, I want to say.
Okay.
But then they revisited it. They came back to
Why
Zendikar.
They
had the battle for Zendikar, which was the revisiting of the plane of Zendikar.
Right.
And in that they came back and they reprinted the
there were a bunch of special
full art lands. Yeah. And then not only that, they also made these lands called Expeditions, if we want to get super into it.
Yeah.
Because I actually have one I can show you as well. They made lands that are like super rare. You can touch whatever.
No, they're all in different individual sleeves. So why couldn't I touch them? It's they're very beautiful Mylar sleeves for your cards. Even your land is in sleeves.
Yes. So
While you look, I'll explain what I know, and then you can pipe in and correct me. Magic the Gathering is a card set, kind of like if you play Pokemon or Yu-Gi-Oh. It's a card playing. It's like playing cards, but the cards are enormously specific, and every card that does something is called a spell. And every right. and the way to activate those spells, you need to have land. And land is referred to as mana from heaven that comes down. And there's four or five different kinds of mana. I can't remember.
Well, there's five, but then there's technically six.
Okay.
Because they made colorless mana an actual thing.
Okay.
In the Eldrazi's, if you want to, which
yeah, yeah.
came from the, actually, when I get Zendikar, they were underneath the lands of Zendikar. Like, the oh, land
right,
was doing
you
something
are in
weird.
The you're into lore, too.
I try to be. You know, honestly, yeah. some people are so much more into the lore than I am.
Yeah. But so, 'cause there's the game, and then there's the stories yeah. that generate the interesting thing about the characters. I mean, there's a lot of characters, there's a lot of wizards, and then there's... you know, like there's written on the bottom of each of the spells, there's a little bit of full like a quote supposedly from the character.
Right. That's called flavor text.
Yeah, flavor text. That's right. it. Okay, so you have found a full art land, which I'm so sorry you had to look because it makes perfect sense. Half the card is land,
or right.
the whole card is land.
Yeah.
That would be the definition. It's
basically the
of
whole
full
card
art.
Is art.
Yeah, the whole card is art. So, and yes.
Yeah.
So I mostly get half art land because I buy it in bulk.
Yeah.
So I can send it with orders.
I mean, these ones are, you know, it's cheaper to buy that, but I'm yeah. just saying.
This is nice.
I was trying to be
the
funny.
The art is nice. You're trying to be funny.
And
okay.
I succeeded.
So, yes, you did, by God. What is the origin of the lore? Do you know the origin of the lore?
Magic lore?
Yeah.
So.
How does it start?
I think the lore, you know, and I'm not the biggest into the lore.
But more than anyone,
I think it started from the beginning. Like, there was story elements to the whole thing.
Right.
Because it was always the idea of a plane. Like, you're a planeswalker. Like, a magic player is a planeswalker.
Okay. So you're the planeswalker.
Meaning you can, like, jump planes and you go to... And every set that comes out, right? Like, you just showed me an Ixalan booster pack.
Yep.
That's the new plane, which your husband is excited about.
Right. And plane is P-L-A-N-E.
Right.
As in parallel universes, planes.
Right. Even though
there
one of the lands...
Yep.
is called the plains, and that's a
yes,
white land.
That's the white land.
Which
that's
is
why I had to clarify
confusing.
That. Right. Yeah, exactly. But fair enough. Because how can you know unless you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So now there is green mana, which is forest mana.
Right.
It makes perfect sense here in the Dork Forest.
Right.
There is red mana. Wait, there is
red
a hierarchy.
Red mana from mountains. So okay. all the mana, it comes from one of the basic elements of the world, you know?
Right, right.
And obviously I'm gonna get corrected. I could think of all the nerds who they because I play
I do
with,
have friends who play, yeah,
right, and they'll correct you instantly.
Yes,
you know,
I'm actually
yeah a little I'm actually mm-hmm. exactly is exactly what happens. But yeah, so like green mana comes from the forest, you
yeah.
know, that's where the energy comes from to cast these spells.
Right, and so a lot of the characters are forest-based characters,
right? So
they try to play to the theme.
Right, like there's a lot of like green. There's like beasts. I guess there's dinosaurs now. That's
yeah.
Ixalan. There's dinosaurs.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And, but all the big stompy
animals?
Stuff is from green.
Yeah. Oh, it's big stompy stuff is green.
Yeah, like the big creatures, like the big dumb animals.
Right,
so like yeah.
five fives. How? What's the?
Well, they're like 12-12s now.
12-12s now.
But five
okay.
fives used to be a big deal.
That used to be a big deal.
Right.
I remember back in the day.
Yeah.
That's green, and then what? And red is mountains.
Red is mountains. Red is my least favorite color.
I think volcanoes.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because mountains are volcanoes.
Yeah.
Volcanoes used to be mountains, and so what are the?
I think
what,
it's
what
more
are the characters.
Like, yeah, so the characters are like red is has goblins. At this point, the color wheel has been mixed up.
Mm-hmm.
They literally had a set that where they switched it and like black cards did what white cards did, and
oh,
you know,
wow.
they've done because the magic's been around so long.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, the color wheel's a little bit, and that's actually a big complaint. The head designer of Magic's guy, Mark Rosewater.
Yeah.
He has a podcast called Driving to Work.
Okay.
And literally on his drive from his house to Magic HQ,
right?
He just talks about a topic, and like I remember one time I heard him just talking about the color wheel, and like some people disagree with the fact that they've given some black abilities to blue cards and blah
right?
blah blah, and people are like Magic's ruined because of this, and it gets you know he gets deep into it, and
right.
that's actually the you know God it's so you could go all over the place with it, but That's the interesting thing about Magic is that, and specifically like Commander Magic, is like Magic is technically broken. Like it's a broken game.
Right, because it somehow got broken when they changed it too much.
They just printed so many cards that you can find combos and they're constantly banning cards. They know that it's broken and that's kind of how they push it to the next level.
Oh, okay.
Is by being like, all right, well, we printed this. That's too powerful. Let's ban one of those cards.
Okay, so you can't even play with that card. I remember the first time that happened because Greg had one of these cards that was like some of the angels will just freeze your deck forever until you're dead.
Yeah. Well, and there's one called Iona, right? Which mm-hmm. is just like you when it hits the battlefield, it's like you. It says name a color.
Yeah.
And opponents can't cast spells of this color.
Right.
So you're playing a mono red deck. You literally just sit there. You're done.
You're waiting till you're killed.
You're waiting till you're
killed. Yeah. And you're like, can we call it and just not.
Right.
Different decks.
Absolutely.
But I remember there was, because I remember Greg used to go and play in the tournaments.
Right.
And he said that he was talking about in, I think it was 94 or 95, that maybe 93, but the, when the first card that was banned was this card that that you would drop from a height, and if it touched any of the cards,
Chaos Orb.
It was something like that, but it was old. And he said that somebody ripped their card up and sprinkled it across the table.
I think it's called Confetti Orb.
No, it's not. Well, now it would be.
No, I think it's literally.
No, but it was banned.
You said Chaos Orb, and I think they ripped it up. The card Confetti Orb as a
after
joke to that.
Yeah,
they made a set called Unglued.
Yeah,
which weirdly, Unglued is the debut of Full Art Lands.
Oh, there you go.
And so, like, the set is like a complete goof. The little, you know, like in the corner has the set image.
Right.
Right. Like, here's the set. It's a cracked egg. It's like a joke.
Right. Because it's a joke set. Because you're like, and how many cards are in the set?
And Confetti Orb's in that, which is like, hey, rip this card up and drop it. And it's probably because somebody abused Chaos Orb in that.
Somebody
way.
Abused Chaos Orb. And, and I remember Greg telling me about it because he was like, it's like a $120 card and you just ripped it up.
Yeah.
And then they banned that card from the tournament anyway.
On YouTube of people like just they'll take like a card that's like $500 and eat it
and
just to like get hits
and to be dick. Yeah,
there's also this thing where people I don't know why they rip packs.
How Hunger Games the party of them assholes. And
and the LGS I play out here, they have on the wall like a ripped Tarmogoyf, they have a ripped foil Tarmogoyf, which is like a super expensive card.
Right. What is the Tarmogoyf?
I have four, by the way.
You have four Tarmogoyf?
I have four. Not to brag, the foil ones? I don't have a foil one,
okay.
No. I got offered to trade for one, and I was like, you know what? I got to draw the line somewhere. I don't need a foil Tarmogoyf.
Okay. What's the Tarmogoyf? What colors are it?
It's green.
It's kind of
like a big stompy guy.
Okay.
And it's a card that was printed that a lot... It's funny. There's so many cards. But yeah, it's a card that's... specifically good. It's what's interesting about it is it's specifically good in Modern, which is a format of Magic.
What's it called?
Super competitive 60 card format called Modern.
Modern, okay.
Yeah, Modern is, I believe, they call it Modern because it's like all the cards are legal from 8th edition on.
Okay.
Right?
What edition are we on? Do you know?
Well, they don't go by editions anymore.
Oh, fair enough.
That was like they had like 10th edition and then they started switching to something called the core sets, where they'd be like 20 Magic 2015, you know, Magic 2016, right? And
we're 20 levels in.
At this point, it's like 20. If you want to think of it in that way, it's 20.
So the modern game, you build a deck from 8th edition on, and just a 60 card deck.
60 card deck, 15 card sideboard.
50 card. What's the sideboard?
Sideboard means like you play best out of three.
Okay.
So you always have to reset your deck to the 60 card deck you started with.
Oh.
And in a tournament, you register.
Okay.
And I've played in modern tournaments. Like,
okay.
I played in the Staples Center.
At a modern tournament?
Yeah, I played in the Staples Center one weekend.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Well, actually.
How'd you do?
Actually, I did really well.
Yeah.
I day two'd. So it's like you have to get a certain record to qualify to go on the second day. It's the only time I ever played in what they call a Grand Prix.
Okay.
It's like GP. It was GPLA.
Okay. What Grand Prix?
Grand Prix LA.
Los Angeles.
Yeah,
there
Los
you go.
Angeles.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got day two.
So 60 card modern. Let's go.
And
with
then I retired.
And then you retired.
Yeah,
you're like, I'll take it. I'm not gonna run with
totally.
It. How many days does it run?
It goes the whole weekend.
Okay, so it's a 3-day thing.
I think no, just go Saturday, Sunday. But
okay.
Yeah, I think Friday they're open. You can play like side events. You can draft, and you can. They take up the whole stable center. They got vendors there, and like not
dealer
the
room.
Center, the
it's
convention
a, yeah,
center.
Yeah, it's like a yeah, it's like
it's a con.
Yeah, it's a con. So let me just let's slow it down for a second.
No, absolutely.
Dan Black, by the way, D Black Attack. Okay, yeah. So a 60-card deck,
right?
And then a 15-card sideboard.
Right.
Those are 15 cards that you get to pick that you can play that you can swap out and play. They're your bench.
So game two,
right?
You can go to the bench.
Go to the bench.
So you go like all
so,
right.
Now 60 cards. How many cards are mana, which is what powers your spells, and how many cards you are always, spell cards?
Your deck will always be 40% mana,
40%,
give or take.
All right.
So like some decks, depending on how low the whole CMC is, like the casting
CMC?
Cost.
Okay.
Right. So let's say you're playing a deck that like a goblin deck, let's say.
Yeah.
Those are generally cheap creatures. A goblin normally costs like one.
Okay.
So you might have like 37, 36 lands.
Okay, just you go on the low end because
right.
you can just throw a million goblins. Because
once you got two mana down, you can play everything in there and you're more about just like grinding to burn. Those are like burn decks, they call them, right?
Yeah, yeah. And okay, so
right.
So that's
generally 40%. Yeah,
40%. Yeah. Now, do you like a monocolor deck, or do you like a like I usually do a dual color deck.
I don't like monocolor decks, but again, that's format specific. But most of the time, I gravitate towards a tricolor deck.
A tricolor deck. What three colors?
Well, in modern, I play Jund, which is there's name for the color scheme, which is this. Even though that's a commander deck, but it's black, red, green.
Black, red, green, and the on the upper right hand side of each of the cards, there is the casting cost of the spell of the card, and like this one is Prosh, Sky Raider of Care.
Right, he's a commander general, different format, but yes.
Okay, so could you play this in a regular deck?
Actually, depends on it's actually not really legal in anything except for like
a commander deck,
super eternal format, like a legacy, and
okay,
yeah,
all right,
very specific,
very specific.
But you would only play this card in commander, you would only
because
it's designed for commander. If you look at the text,
okay, so
Magic decided
it's a
to monetize.
Legendary creature dragon, very cool art, art of a dragon,
yeah.
When you cast Prosh, Skyrider of Care, put an X01 red kobold creature tokens. What's X? Oh, and X. Oh, it's an algebra equation.
Yeah.
Welcome to algebra, you guys. Magic Gathering.
Magic's very thinky.
It's fiddly as all hell, which is I think why Andy loves it so.
Yeah.
Okay, so when you cast it, you put an X number of 0/1 red kobold creature tokens named Kobolds of Care keep onto the battlefield,
and here it
where
is.
X is the number of mana spent to cast Prosh. So to cast Prosh, though, it costs 6 mana to cast him, right?
Right, but since he's a commander, in the format of commander, every time you recast him, it costs 2 more. So you get a benefit for paying more every time.
Okay, and then he has a bonus power, sacrifice another creature. Prosh gets a +1/+0 until end of turn. Now, these 0/1, +1/+0 slashes. The first line, this does 5 damage and can take 5 damage, right? On its initial casting, because there's a 5. There's all these numbers on these cards, you guys. And so the first number is what damage you do to the power. That's your power.
So it's like how much power you deal when you attack,
right?
And then toughness is your second number.
Is what you can take.
How much you can take before you die.
Right.
And when you attack, if a creature blocks, you trade power and toughness.
Right. And so what you have is you have the one card and they play a card to block it.
Right.
And then you can destroy that card. And then the attack that's left, the points that are left, bleed off into the actual player, the planeswalker. Correct? And you have 20
If you
points.
Block, only if you have trample, which a lot of green creatures do have trample.
Okay.
Think of the flavor. They're like beasts and rhinos.
So if it's just
but
normal
if you just block, even if I put a 1/1, it's called chump blocking. Even if I put a 1/1 in front of a 12/12 that doesn't have trample, the damage won't bleed through, but my guy will die and your guy will stay alive.
It's
called chump blocking. He's like throwing a pawn.
Right. It's a meat shield.
Right.
He threw.
He's a meat shield.
Yeah, there you go. So
100%.
Chump Got it.
Right. All right.
So he threw that in front, but trample will get to the player. And yes. In a regular game, now this is the kind of magic that I have played.
Yeah.
Which is just I make a deck, you make a deck.
Yeah.
We play our decks. We each have 20 points of people of planeswalker. Player
life.
Points. Life. That's right. It.
You have 20
and
life.
I have 20 life. So you got to get through my row of characters and cards and spells to me and get the 20 points
down. So you're a planeswalker and you're able to summon these creatures to defend you and be your offense.
There you go.
And then as whatever gets through to actually kill the planeswalker, who's like the king behind the, right?
Yes.
They're the fort.
Right, I'm Karl Rove. I'm just running this thing. The power behind
you're
the Karl throne.
That, yeah, planeswalkers are Karl Rove.
Yeah. It's so
George Bush is Prosh.
So now this commander deck is something else. This is a 100. No,
so
99.
Modern. To go back to the sideboard, modern, I think that's where we're at, right? So modern. That's a 60. That's a competitive 60 card format. So you're saying you have the sideboard. So you have 15 cards in your sideboard. A lot of times you're thinking about the meta of Magic, which is like, what am I gonna see?
So when
I show up to the Staples Center and I'm playing Magic in my sideboard, I'm thinking, what matchups am I anticipating?
Right, that I'm not prepared for, but anticipating so that I can swap these dudes in if I see it.
So if I get up and I'm seeing like an artifact deck, let's say, which is a popular deck, an affinity deck is what they call it. But let's say, and I go, okay, all right, second game, regardless if I win or lose, I'm swapping out cards that are doing
destroy
that don't
artifacts.
Do anything against artifacts and putting in cards that say destroy all artifacts, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So now
that's what makes it so heady.
Right. Right. Well,
you're like the meta element is just like that's where you can be like, all right, I need to take a break.
Yeah.
You go like, all right, this is like dominating too much of my brain space.
It's like
space.
Playing Axis and Allies, you know, because you could play this for 6 hours. You could play this for 10 hours, right? Because you could sit there swapping out decks, swapping out cards, and Andy will spend an entire day just playing with the cards. He's just like, sometimes I open up my box of cards and I'm like, I'm just going to build an artifact deck.
Yeah.
I'm just going to build a deck that he doesn't even have a game set up, right?
That's when I spend most of my time with Magic, and it's kind of what I really like about Magic, is not playing Magic.
Right, it's going through the cards.
It's deck construction and getting like excited about the possibilities of combinations I'm thinking of.
Okay,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
I spend a lot of time it's relaxing to me to an extent. I have to realize like when is it relaxing and when is it like actually daunting on me? And,
right, when is it interfering?
And so like a common night for me would be like I lay in bed and I'm like I'm like unwinding instead of watching Netflix or something.
Yeah,
I go, all right, oh, I like this card. What can I build around this card? And then I look up decks online.
That's awesome.
I read primers about hey, you want to build a Prosh deck? Here's where to start. And then
Your people are all over the internet. I will say that.
Yeah.
Magic the Gathering rabbit holes are because it's a fun thing to think about building a deck around one card.
Right.
Now what I do, the reason I haven't been addicted to that. I think Andy's slightly addicted to what you're doing.
Yeah.
That's the fun for him too.
Yeah.
Is that when I have to build a new deck, like he has built a deck, it is some sort of black and green monster deck with vampires and werewolves.
That's my favorite black and green.
The black and green.
Yeah.
It's he loves it. He loves it.
Right.
And so I'm like, well, what do I do? And so I take out all of my cards and I don't know that I'm doing it right. I should probably go do some primers, but I separate the cards into like, I pull all the mana and I look at the mana and then I look at, if I get a booster deck, which is just how many cards are in a booster deck? 10?
There's 15.
15.
Booster pack?
Booster pack.
Just like what you showed me before, those are, 15.
15s. Okay, so what I'll do is I'll separate them into mana, and then I'll separate them into, not mana, like if it has mana, whatever, but like special mana, I'll separate them by the kinds of mana they are.
Right.
And then sometimes I'll be irritated if they're a multi-mana. Like if they take
their gold card,
right?
A gold card. Like here, this is a green red card.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want. This seems messy to have many different kinds of mana.
Absolutely is.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And so, what is the joy in because the thing is because you're like, well, I'm not going to have the right mana when I play this card because it needs three, any color,
right?
One black, one red, and one green. So I have to have a 40% of my deck, and 40% of 60 is what? God knows.
Right.
Do some math.
40% of 60 is 24.
Okay.
Which you, so, have to know. I mean, if you want to play Magic, you got to 24.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're numbers. Drafting. Yeah. Or 23. Whatever, you know, whatever.
It's like cribbage. 15-2, right. 15-4, actually, knobs
yeah,
for
yeah.
one.
So literally, okay. like, yeah, literally what I'll do is like, all right, let's say I'm playing a deck that's three colors, but yep. I'm drafting. I go, you know what? I got to go with three colors. Which, by the way, I try to avoid when I'm drafting, but it depends on the set. Like, yeah. there was, like, Return to Ravnica, which was, like, had so many tricolor. That was the point of that set.
Okay.
But, like...
Hey, my laundry's done.
Oh, nice.
God knows.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love so my Ravnica. Laundry's done.
Okay.
And it's hot. Anyway, it's, oh, yeah, so hot. What I'll do is somebody taught me this trick.
Okay.
Which made me very calm.
Is yeah.
You count up.
Because
so
it's stressful. Yeah. How do you calm down? How does it calm
down? So what I do is I count the symbols. So I'll be like, all right, I have 10 black symbols. All right, this deck has 3 red symbols, and it has 10 green symbols.
Yeah.
And then I make a simple proportion equation that's
there
just like
go.
10 over, what did I say? That would be 10, 23.
3, yeah. 10,
what I just said?
10, 3, 10, you said.
Right.
Yeah.
So I do 10 over 23 and then do that. Then I have a percentage of mana and I know I'm going to put 17 in if I'm playing drafting because I'm going to have a 40 card deck.
Yes.
And then I multiply that and then I go, all right, this. And then sometimes I adjust it. If I'm like, you know what? I look at how many two symbol cards I have,
yep.
and like, you know, if I have a lot of cards that have two red,
yep.
even though I don't have that many to cast it, I need two. So I might adjust it one or two there. But I, you know what?
When you start there.
Start there, and I take a breath, and I go, you know what? If I lose, it's okay.
Yeah.
I have to take that step back.
Right. So there's a game, there's a new game store in our neighborhood.
Over here? Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
And,
what's it called?
Don't know, but it's okay. next to Nat's Early Bite, which is a lovely.
I might check it out when I leave.
Yeah, it's nice.
I love game stores.
Sure, you want to go to lunch?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We can do it.
Sweet.
It's a great and it's Saturday, so I'm sure they're getting.
Oh, it's gonna be popping.
They got tables. It's popping. So they have but they have a drafting night, which is and drafting. So we can explain for people is what.
Drafting is a limited format. Now, limited format means that like you're playing from a pool of cards you're opening right when you start playing.
Right.
You're not bringing your cards to the store. You're not bringing your Pirate Lab suitcase.
Right. Right. You are only going to be able to play with the cards that you
yes.
got from booster packs,
and that's,
right?
That's
and then they provide mana, the store does,
yeah,
right?
The store should provide, unless they're a bad store,
right.
They should provide mana. Though a big problem is that people don't leave their mana, and the store is like, please leave your mana, we're right. short. Like,
right, right. You're stealing our mana here.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
We need those 40 cards.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I actually, when I play limited, I bring my own mana.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, if you go drafting, you bring your own mana?
Yeah, you know why? Because they're pre-sleeved. So I don't have to sleeve mana every time. So I have 10 of each color sleeved already.
And is it only basic mana in drafting? If you go to a drafting
night? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because any non-basic mana you
yep.
get would be in the pack and you'd have to draft it.
Okay, there you go.
You know, like those are a pick. The only basic lands come out.
How many packs do you get?
So you get 3 packs when you want to draft. They'll
okay.
give you 3 packs.
And how many people are in the drafting
It's supposed
group?
To be ideally 8, but...
8 people are playing.
Right.
Everybody gets 3 packs of cards.
Yes.
Right? At 15 cards a person.
Right.
And you open a pack.
Open what a pack. There's 15 cards there. You take out the... You take out the basic mana, the
right,
basic
right. You put
land.
It on the side,
right? Because that's not that we all get. We all have infinite basics,
okay.
And then you choose. You go through the pack. You choose one card,
right?
And then you pass to your right normally first. But I hope I'm right. Yeah, you pass right normally first. Take
but
one
you
card.
Just pass it to the next person.
Pass to the next person. They pass, and then so you get a pack from the person on the left. So
everyone's opened a pack at the same time,
right?
You. Get out the basic manas. You take one card that you want from that pack. You
right.
pass the rest of them, but you get a pack, and then you take one card from what somebody just handed you.
Right. So then you take a card from that, and then you're trying to build a synergistic deck based on like, you know what? I'm going to, you know, you go, all right, I this is a big stompy green creature
yeah.
that I think could win me the game. Because that's a popular strategy to win is by overrun.
Right,
meaning
right.
trample lets you overrun damage, you know?
Right.
So it's like, all right, I'm just going to attack you, okay? It's a super aggressive aggro strategy.
Yeah.
So you go, all right, well, then I'm going to start pulling all the green monsters that come through.
Right.
Right? But then, yeah.
So okay. maybe somebody else is doing that
right.
too.
And then you pick that until there's no cards left.
Right. And so... If there's eight people and there's three decks, that is 45 cards per person. So everybody right. should end up with at least 40 cards, right?
Right. And it's a big problem because somebody always by accident, you know, because all right, some people take a long time to pick.
Yep.
And then you start getting stacks. You go like some guy. And this is normally me, by the way, with drafting. Right. There's a lot of, and it's a big problem. Like for new players, the barriers to entry are really tough with Magic because you're like want to draft. You go, hey, I want to draft with my husband, right?
Yeah.
And then you go in there and these guys are picking their cards in 2 seconds,
right?
And you're reading every single one,
right? There's
and then
pressure.
Stacks are piling up of like the, right. your next pick, and you're slowing the whole table down.
Right, right. It's like golf.
Yeah.
Nobody can play through though.
It's because, like golf. Nobody can play through. 100%.
100%.
Perfect metaphor.
Oh, there you go. I'm building metaphors.
Yeah, is that a simile? I don't know. The difference
I don't know.
Still.
It's all good. And it's crazy because. I do want to play, but it's always, I don't like sitting around, even on a board game.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you go next. And I am the person saying that usually.
You're taking too long.
Right. Other people are taking too long. I'm like, just
right.
make a snap decision. But people who play strategy games would like to look at the board. They need to read the card. They need to know. But if you've memorized the cards, then you're in a better place. So is it? I'm sure it's like absolutely
well,
every time.
Yeah. You say memorizing the cards, but a lot of the cards do generally the same thing. They tweak them a little bit. So
right.
when a new set comes out, even if I didn't even read anything about the cards, I can go pretty fast.
At a
I'm
glance.
Like, all right. Yeah. You end up like. You end up being like, all right, this one bounces, but for six. Normally, it's not the most optimal bounce card, but it's a bounce, meaning like it
What's
says
that?
Return this card to your owner's hand.
Oh,
like,
okay.
You know,
bounce
like,
card.
Right.
Yep.
Right. Like a boomerang was the original one, I think.
Okay.
You know, so I'll be like, all right, that's an expensive one. And it has like the new ability at the bottom. But I'm like, I generally still know what I want it for. It'll
yeah.
just, right?
Yeah, so if you've spent...
I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah,
it does make sense, because if you... But what I mean by memory... Yeah, but I think I mean that same thing with memorizing, because if you've spent some quality time
right.
looking at the previous decks and iterations and plot points,
right.
you'll see in the new deck the patterns.
Right.
And so you can just pick. So if you're a new player,
right.
you just have to... You know, they have to be patient with you. And some of them
are
not going to be patient. There's going to be some grumps.
Some of these guys are like, I don't know,
just
animals.
Bossy and yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just, you know, a few times while playing Magic, I've had to been like, hey, this guy's clearly new. Relax.
Yeah.
I've had to be like, I'm like the hero or something, right?
Right.
This is the second time we're talking about me
Heroes.
Being a hero.
Although,
this time I'm owning it.
Yeah, this is it. This time you are the hero.
Yeah.
And but somebody has to in a gaming situation.
Right.
Because when you game with strangers, you don't know. You don't
right.
know. Like, have you ever gone to Gen Con?
Which no, my buddy Jared Logan went this year. Of course, you know him. They went and they were like, "You got to come." And I was, they're like, "I'm gonna go next year with them." I have that set in my head.
And here's the thing: if we all went, we could put a stand-up show together.
You go every. That would be amazing.
Yeah, because Andy goes every year. Ever since he went 1 year, sort of by accident, and he called me and said, "There's 60,000 people here, and all they want to do is play games."
Right.
I will be. And he's actually thought about living in Indianapolis. And I'm like, you realize Gen Con is one fucking week. It is not going to fix it. But he loves it. He loves it, right?
I get it.
And so he's in. It's his dorkdom. And it's his life. And it's his job. And it's everything that he loves.
Yeah.
So, but if we all went.
Living the dream, honestly.
Quite honestly.
Yeah.
And the double clicks go. I don't know if you know the double clicks. But no. they. I had the guy who founded Gen Con. Or not founded, because that was Gary Gygax.
Right.
But the guy that owns Gen Con on the Dork Forest a couple of years ago when I was in town, because I got what's her name who owns Crackers to book me that week.
Oh, that's great.
And she was like, has never done it since. She doesn't think it'll be a thing. She's like, I was like, there are 80,000 people.
Absolutely, it'd be a thing.
It would be a thing. That's what happens at Gen Con. That's what happens at Comic Con. So we'll talk about it after. Anyway, so let's not use any of your time talking about magic. So, but yeah, you have to support people who don't know. And it's just, it'll take a second to learn how to play this game.
Yeah, so that's it. Drafting is very fun. I think
does it cost?
It costs generally $15. But
that's not bad for a night of fun.
To be honest, people always talk about how expensive Magic is. They're right. It's expensive. They're right because you get hooked or whatever.
Right.
You know, like we talked about that game you're playing where you're like, got hooked on the in-app purchase.
Yeah.
But you don't have to play it for that expensive,
nope.
probably.
No. Nope.
Similar to Magic. It's yeah. just that you get hooked on, like, see, a lot of my cards are shiny. It's
yeah, they're foil cards.
I like foils. Like this card right here, I have a $6 version of it. This is probably a $100 version of it. It's a Stomping Ground, which is a shock land. It's
can
a dual...
I look at this card?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is a, and the thing about this, is this a foil?
Yeah.
Because it's in a case that I cannot see the foil.
It makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but you love it, and so it makes the sense that it
yeah,
makes.
Like that card to me is like so, it's like beautiful, you know, and in a way that like,
right,
I try
like
to
the
show
art it. Is nice.
Yeah,
and
but you know,
so it's, called, it's a Stomping Ground. It's a land.
Right,
it's a red land.
Here is a foil Planeswalker. There's no need. I have
as
a
Stomping Ground enters the battlefield. You must pay to life, which is the character's
that's,
life.
That's
yeah,
paying to life. To generally hitting with two life is called shocking because the first card that yeah. that happened was called shock.
Okay,
right? So that's like how. We talked about that on actually. That's the reason I bring it up because it was like time walking. Remember
yeah.
they showed us the card Time Walk?
Yeah.
And I didn't remember what the CMC was of it, like
yeah.
what it cost to
yeah.
play. Because I'm like, I just know it as a term. If time walking means taking another turn.
Oh, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh, that's right.
Right.
So as Stomping Ground enters the battlefield, you may pay two life. So you don't have to. If you don't, Stomping Ground just enters the battlefield tapped.
Right.
And to tap means that you can't use it initially, and it's a land, and a land is something you usually
right.
want to use.
So you
right
choose.
Away.
Do you want if you want to use it right away? It'll cost you two life.
Right, and so
this is a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty good deal,
especially because you get two colors. You get green and red, like we talked about. This taps for green and red.
I only see the red. Where's the green?
It says mountain and forest.
It's a mountain forest. Oh, it's mountain forest. Land, mountain, forest. Got it.
It is a mountain and a forest, which is another benefit of this card. Because
right, right.
any card that says search for a mountain or search for a forest, you can search for this and you get both.
Yeah. So you can use it for either. Because to play the card, you have to use the color mana that it requires to cast it.
Right.
Now,
which is actually something I don't like about Magic is... that I love it. Well, it's going to be too detailed.
No, go.
I'm saying something that bothers me about Magic personally is that the lands cost so much money. Is that like, so this, if you want to play competitively, you need this card.
Oh, you need that card because it has both kinds of mana.
Yeah, and there's cards called fetch lands, which says like search for a forest, and then you could search for colors. And then like you're saying, like I don't know what colors to pick.
Yeah.
Well, now in these decks...
You can buy
the color
something?
Is so fixed that like getting colors is not a problem at all, as long as you got $1,000 to spend on your land base.
Exactly.
And that's like
yeah.
the stuff. And I'm like, for kids, the land should be free.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, yeah. Like if you're 11 years old and you want to play this game, it should be you should be able to play competitively, not at the highest levels.
Oh,
I mean, it's not.
Not even to mention this, I saw a kid selling this card back
yeah.
to a store for so much lower than it's worth because, you know, that's how the stores operate. They
right.
give you, like, cash. And then he's picking up cards that are going to be worth nothing later on. And you're like, I was like, is that morally correct of that store to take that card from the kid?
It isn't. I sold a Cal Ripken rookie card because I needed rent money, but I knew what I was doing.
Yeah. So, honestly, I'm thinking about selling some cards.
Right. I mean, it's
get
it's
some cash.
Right. And if you had one that wasn't a foil one, right? Because it's a foil one.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
You could just get a normal one, which is probably a $50 card,
it's
right?
No, it's like $10.
Okay, yeah. So you could have that.
But it wasn't $10 for a while. Then they reprinted it, and that's a whole other thing. Is reprinting's a big deal in Magic because then the secondary market is like you're reprinting cards. It ruins
the value, and
it's the stuff that people don't like about Magic.
Well, and it's not just Magic. I mean, we get comic books, right?
Right.
And so Andy's like, whenever they offer a variant card, it's his least favorite thing about comic books. He's like, stop with the variant covers. I just want to read a comic book and let the artist be the artist. And so he, like, whenever we go to a Comic-Con and he sees
right.
the bins full of dollar comics, he's like, that's my entire collection right there. Because all he has are dollar
okay.
comics.
Is he? I admire that a lot because I get, like, hooked in. Like, for a while, I didn't care about foils.
Yep.
I was like...
Then you kind of got sucked into the pretty?
Yeah, like this card, Prosh, is a general I have. He's not foil. They don't print a foil. And it bothers me that I can't even get one. Do you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like,
yeah.
Right? But, like, these guys are foils, right?
Right.
Like, you know.
And you also have two different kinds of sleeves. Like, there's a harder back sleeve to to it that that keeps him nicer.
This is actually because he's the commander, which he sits in his own zone. Right. So I don't shuffle him in by accident.
Oh, so it's easier to find.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, fair enough.
But yeah, I know players who are like, hey, that card does the same thing, so I don't care, and they don't give into it, and I'm like, right. I wish I was that guy.
Well, it's like, I mean, I did an episode with Retta about purses. I don't care about purses.
Right.
I just need a bag to hold items.
Hey, tell that to my wife. Am I right?
Am I right? Are you right?
Actually, could you please tell her?
Does she like purses?
Bits aside.
Yeah, she genuinely
likes purses. I grew up in Long Island, New York.
Yeah.
And so, I know what a nice purse is.
I didn't know.
Right. I knew, it was all the girls I knew grew up and dated with, they all had the same bag. And you'd start being like, oh, they all, okay.
Why
oh, that's the Marc Jacobs bag that's hot right now. Like, first Sex in the City, you know? And so my wife, I'll be like, hey, this is I never saw this Chanel bag before. And she's like, oh, that one? No, I had that one. I'm like, you can't trick me. You married a Long Island Jew. I know.
So sad. Too bad. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yeah, you should have married clearly someone from Wisconsin.
And then we get to a big fight. No. Then I go yeah, you earned it. It's all good.
Exactly. I mean, everybody has their own money to spend on their foil cards.
I'm lucky that this stuff's less expensive than that stuff.
Well, and I'm sure Retta is irritated that she ever told me how much this bag was, because the episode of The Dork Forest
it's on the podcast.
$15,000.
$15,000
for a used bag.
Wait, it was $15,000 bag.
Yes, Hermes
bag.
Yeah, and it was
Retta the comic, right? Like she was on Office.
Yeah, she's a sitcom actress, so she has a disposable income greater than she's rich.
Right,
it's fine.
But that's amazing.
But
that's so
amazing.
Expensive.
I asked her. I said, "What's the most you ever spent on a purse?" Yeah. And she sort of big eyed me. She was like, "Are you fucking kidding me? You're asking me this?" And I was like, "Don't tell me if you don't want to tell me." And she's like, $15,000. And then I was like, "For what? Was there $14,000 in the bag?
Yeah,
in cash?
Yeah."
And
that's
she
amazing.
Was like, "And it was used because it was and it was mint in." I don't know if it was mint in box,
oh,
but it was. It was.
That's great.
It was a pretty amazing.
Trust me, I know. Yeah. I get
it's
it.
It's a fancy bag.
But yeah, anyway, I'm attracted to that stuff works on me. All the marketing, it works on me.
Yeah, yeah.
With
so
the magic.
It does with the magic.
These
together.
Lands, they came out. They were in the Zendikar packs we were talking about. They're called Expedition Lands.
Yep.
They were put them in. They were super rare to get.
Yep.
I have every single one.
You have every one because you kept buying packs until you got them.
No, actually, I traded.
Oh, right, because you could buy individual on the secondary market. You could buy individual cards.
Yes, but I didn't buy any of them. I actually did. I used this website called Puka Trade, but that could be a whole other.
Puka Trade.
It's
how do you spell? P-O-O-K.
P-U-C-A Trade.
Okay, people, if you need something, Puka Trade.
It's one-sided trading. It's like people say what cards they want, and then you go, all right, click. They give you their address. You send it to them, and then when they get it, they give you points, and then you use your points to get, you know? So it's one-sided trading.
It's
incredible.
And it's just point-based. It's not money-based.
I traded into a whole set of dual land. I traded into all the stuff.
Right, because you have to have cards to do it.
Right.
Essentially, so that you can build points.
But I had been hoarding because I don't sit at the shop grinding, trading, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Okay, so let me, before we go forward, let me just say, when you play, you are dealt, you have your deck. It's usually 60 cards, right? For whenever whenever I'm just playing normal.
You're talking
Andy.
About draft because it matters.
No. Yeah, not draft. Just
I mainly
sitting around
play Commander,
playing in the
which
house.
Is 100 cards.
Right.
Right.
So, but before we go there, let's go with a basic. You're sitting around with your friends, not even drafting.
Right.
You've built a deck. You and Bob and Bill are sitting around, the four of you.
Yeah.
And you're like, I've got my black green deck. I'm going to beat you fuckers. And and so you bring it. So you deal yourself. Seven cards, five cards.
Oh, yeah, you draw seven cards.
You draw seven cards from your deck.
From your deck.
Seven cards.
And you cut each other's decks and no one cheats.
That's right. You shuffle, you cut each other's decks. You draw seven from your own deck.
Right.
As you go around, you can play one mana per round.
Right.
Unless
you can also mulligan. I don't know how specific you want to get,
right.
But you can choose to go down to six if you don't like your hand.
Right. And so you roll to see who goes first. You initially, unless you've got something in your hand that you can play without mana, you play a mana first.
Right.
You go around.
You can pay one land a turn.
One land a turn.
So generally, you don't want to keep a hand that doesn't have land.
Yeah, just keep playing the land.
You can't do anything without land.
Right.
Best card in Magic, they say, is an island.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so when you it is time to play your first spell, which is whatever it is, you need to tap. This is when I do a joke about tapping mana. Now so what that means is you turn the card,
right?
And you that means it's being in use.
Yes.
So you tap the card and then you play your spell underneath it. And now to play it now,
if you want to think of it like this helps,
he has so many
is like
sickness,
think about when
right?
you tap. You're tapping a land to create a mana.
That's it.
Right. So it's like you're like this is a forest. You can tap a forest like it's like touching a tree. You know, you touch and then it releases a mana into your mana pool that you can use to cast a spell.
To cast a spell.
And they then, all make one.
Right. They all make
unless
one.
Unless it says
unless differently. Yeah, yeah. Unless it says specifically. Then you cast your spell.
Right.
And when you cast your spell, unless it has something, it's summoning sickness, right?
Right. Creatures have summoning sickness, meaning like they can't attack or tap for their abilities on
or defend on or
the,
anything.
Right. But when they come out. So the idea is it gives your opponent a chance to respond to it before you can use it on their turn.
Right. Unless it has haste, I think.
Right. If it has haste, you can use it right away.
Yeah.
Also, any ability that's a non-tap ability, you can use right away.
Oh.
So if it says, like, pay one and this guy will deal one damage, you can use that ability right away, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's not summoning six to use extra deals.
Absolutely.
Can he be used to defend?
Well, that's a planeswalker. I don't know if it matters, but if you're actually going to look at that specific card, that's
no.
a completely different kind
but
of card.
Can...
That's actually the kind of card that got me back into Magic. But let me just give you a creature. Here. This is an act. This is a creature.
That's a creature. He's a zombie beast, you guys.
And he's foil for no reason.
And he's foil for no reason.
A card
reason.
That cost 10 cents, I bought for $1.
Deathbringer Throktar.
Yeah, yeah.
He would cost to cast for any color mana,
right.
A black mana and a red mana.
Yeah.
What set is this? Do you know what
that's
set
Shards
that is?
That's Shards of Alara.
It's a Shards of Alara card, you guys. And he's a 3-3
right
character.
Right before Zendikar.
Right before, okay.
Right, the set,
oh,
right
so
before
pretty
Zendikar.
New.
Yeah.
And
No.
Okay.
There's infinite stuff. Yeah, I gotta shut up.
Whenever another creature is put into a graveyard from play, you may put a +1/+1 counter on Deathbringer Throktar. Remove a +1/+1 counter from Deathbringer Throktar. Deathbringer Throktar deals one damage to target creature or player. So what you do is you build up these counters.
Yeah.
And you can essentially throw the counters at the people.
Right.
And can the counters block with creatures or do they go past?
Well, the counters creatures? Will make him bigger because they're +1/+1, right? So he's a 3/3 creature, so he could deal 3 damage and he could take 3 damage. But as he gets these +1/+1 counters, he's growing. So
he's 4/4, 5/5,
right? So he can get pretty
okay.
big.
Yeah.
But then also this ability you can use at any time because it just says remove.
Not on your turn.
At instant speed, you can use it at their turn.
There you go.
Use it to respond. So that's what makes him pretty cool. It's like he's gonna die. All right. Well, hey, I was bashing you with it, but I'll just throw 10 at you anyway.
You're right. Then you have to take.
Right. So he's kind of a removal. He's kind of like a removal card because he'll like he can remove something from the board. You know, oh, you have a creature that's 5/5. Oh, hey, I'll deal 5 to it. But he's also an aggro card, so he kind of has dual purpose, which makes him cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So. And this planeswalker got you back in? Why
not
did
this
you go
planeswalker
out?
Specifically, the concept of the planeswalker. Well, we're talking, that's how you bring this back to the beginning, is how I got back into Magic.
Yeah.
Because you're saying it wasn't my wife who got me into Magic. She would prefer if I didn't play Magic.
Has she ever played? Side note.
No.
Okay.
No, she doesn't like the game. Like,
she's not
attracted to it.
Okay.
No, I show her the art sometimes, and every once in a while she'll be like, that's cool.
Yeah, there you go.
I would like to hang Magic art in my whole house.
Andy will hang some art. There's some weird art going on in the house.
Really?
But he has an art degree. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and he loves comic books, often for the art. Anyway,
yeah,
so,
no,
so why did you stop, and how did you get back in?
I didn't stop. I actually
didn't stop.
I actually almost like, I would say I never started. It was kind of this weird thing where my uncle was – I told you this.
Yeah,
my uncle is 20 years younger than my dad, exactly. So he was like my babysitter and stuff, and he was like into like Van Halen and like he liked, you know, I guess D&D and Magic don't really tie with that. But like anything he was into, I just liked it because he was my cool younger uncle.
Yeah.
And so he was like big into comic books, so I'd go with him to get his pulls.
Yeah.
And then I remember when there was Magic Gathering came out. It was sitting there, and Jihad, the two games.
Oh, right. And Jihad's another card game like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh! Right.
I was saying, yeah, it wasn't a charged word at the time.
No.
It was, it was.
Right.
And so.
Though in some circles, still charged.
Yeah.
I'm sure at the time, it was still irritating. Go.
Oh, yeah. But, well, at that time, it was the 90s. It was, you know, Bill Clinton with the sacks. We weren't talking about the Jihad.
It was a pre-9/11 world. Years ago.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to whisper 9/11.
9/11.
9/11. All right. So, yeah. I remember him talking to the clerk, like being like, "Hey, what's this game?" And he explained the two games. And then he bought the Magic Pack, like based on that conversation.
Yeah.
And then he got really into it. His friends got really into it. And then he came to New York. He lives in Florida for my bar mitzvah, and he gave me a black green deck he built for me.
Oh,
because what happened was I pulled a dual land, like, from a pack that he randomly bought me.
Yeah,
and he was like, "Yo, I really needed that." He was like, "You know what? I'll build you a whole deck to give it to you." So, yeah. So then he built that for me, and then I was always like really into it. I would force my friends and my little brother to play it, but no one really took to it.
Right.
And then, I don't know how to put this, but like, without just putting it plainly, like, I didn't really have like dorky friends. I was kind of like a cool kid.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so I had like a girlfriend, and like, I didn't get to really play
you
Magic.
Had a life. Yeah, so you were going to, what were you like, into music and sports and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I played baseball. I mean, I was just, you know, also it was a little bit of like, hey, I was just doing, just trying to be regular.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I always liked comic book stuff, but they didn't have the movies at the time.
Yep.
The big thing when Spider-Man came out, like, that was a big deal in 2000.
Right.
And that was like, oh, awesome, I can watch it.
It's not enough. Yeah.
I didn't really have money to buy the books, the comic books, and I wasn't that passionate enough to be like, hey, but. Yes, but I always collected Magic, and I would buy cards, and I always build decks, but never played them.
Fair enough.
And so then, weird thing, cut, flash, then I went to college, you know, then my gimmick was women, and then flash.
You had a gimmick that was women?
Yeah, my gimmick was women, no. Just whatever.
That sounds so terrifying. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know why I said that. My gimmick was women.
Undo. Okay.
No, it's just gimmick because I'm a professional wrestling fan, so I like to use the word term gimmick.
Oh, what is that in wrestling?
Gimmick is like, what's your character?
Your hook.
Yeah, what's your hook?
Okay.
I know the word gimmick. I always use it like so casually, and then it can be
but
too charged.
But it sounds like you were a trickster, weird.
No, absolutely not.
But absolutely not.
Absolutely not. No.
Thank God.
No.
Moving on.
No. It's part of my act, too. Just not that guy.
Okay.
But and anything you say in your act is truthful.
Find Dan Black doing stand-up comedy, by the way. Very funny.
Yeah.
Okay, it's at The Black Attack. Go.
Yeah. I just mean like at that point it was just like, hey, we're in college, we drink and we like party, you like, you know, that's so. Anyway, so then I showed up to UCB because I also do improv comedy every Tuesday actually at UCB.
There you go.
Everyone check that out. And there was a group of people playing it, and I finally found a group to play with.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then
so this is when you moved here.
That's when it was New York.
It was New York,
but it was like post college when I started doing UCB, and there was a crowd of, and there were some guys who were like in the same boat as me. Like I always wanted to play,
but I've just been building decks for 10 years.
Right, and then
fair enough.
Right, and so then we drafted. We bought a box of Corset 2011, which
is
right after Zendikar, and we drafted, and then I just got like really. I was like, oh my god, finally I could do this. You know, like I could actually play, and I had a group to play. And then the Planeswalker card was new. We didn't have it as a kid.
Okay.
Which is like the concept of a Planeswalker card, which really drew me to it, is like, all right, you cast another Planeswalker, you are a Planeswalker, and this is also a Planeswalker, and he fights with you or she.
Oh, so you have a partner, like a sidekick, but not.
And like their power, like their life force is called loyalty, and like when their loyalty goes to zero, they're not loyal to you anymore, and they run off.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Wait, so the card goes, they don't die. They just run off.
They have their own turn when on your turn, meaning like, see, it has like three abilities there?
Yeah.
You get to use one of them on your turn. And people can choose to attack into the Planeswalker or into you. You have to say, I'm attacking that or attacking you. And a lot of times they protect your life because they're like, I got to get that off the board to win, and then it pads your life.
Okay, so if you're killed, though, does this go?
Yeah, if you're dead, then you're dead.
Then you're dead.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. They have no more loyalty to dead guys.
Right, you can't really.
Right.
You take his head out and ask him if should we be loyal to him.
Right.
But
a new kind of card was super attractive to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And they like look cool. And then they're supposedly based in the whole movie universe when it comes out, which might be never.
Oh, right.
Around like these Planeswalkers.
Oh, good. Because otherwise they're... basing it on you.
Well, because it's like they made like there's like the sick there's like five planes. There's one for each color, you know.
Oh,
that like this is a dual color one, so it's not one of them. But
it started out
they're kind of like the Fellowship of the Ring or whatever. Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Like they're called something. What are they? The Guardians of.
They're actually called because there are five of them, and they're right. Essentially loyalty sidekick cards. And there were only five, and now there's this dual colored one.
No, they've now announced of they're course. Expanding out, and they've expanded out. Like there's other random ones, but the core ones, which
are
they're
those
called,
five?
They're called the Gatewatch. That's what they're called. And there's like one set called Oath of the Gatewatch, which is eerily like Fellowship of the Ringy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and there's a Jace is the blue one when he's like the main guy.
Sure, that was my competitive erotic fan.
Right, right.
That
you told me that. You did
that
Jace and Liliana.
And Liliana and how they had sex.
Right.
And it was funny for me. I don't know how funny it was for everyone else.
I would have been roaring.
Right, right. It was it was pretty fun though. Have you ever done that competitive erotic fan fiction?
No, I never done
Brian,
that.
Brian Cook?
No, Brian Cook's super funny. I like him a lot.
You
yeah.
should do. I will hook you up.
Oh, that'd be
anyway,
awesome.
So,
yeah.
This is Planeswalker Xenagos.
Oh, that's Xenagos, yeah.
Xenagos the Reveler.
He's in the Expedition Land, by the way. It just popped up.
Oh, that just popped up. A Hallowed Fountain just popped up, you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a Plains and Island. So it's also a double mana.
Yeah.
So,
but sorry to distract. This is Xenagos.
But you're just like here's another card. Here's another great card. Anyway,
I'm curious what you're going to say. You said I wish.
Oh, I wish that they would show on these dual lands. The two kinds of lands, instead of just saying that they were lands.
Yeah, I think they do that in the color. It's like this part's white, this part's blue. But
oh,
yeah.
Okay. So it's
funny you say that because my wish for them is that it does no text.
No,
I'm like I want it to just be. Like, I know what it is from the name.
Yeah.
So I just want full art. I want no
you just
border.
Want more art.
Yeah,
more
yeah,
art.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I have this to say, and you're gonna be sad about it.
What?
We're at an hour.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
Did I bore you?
Not at all. This is a great episode.
Yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
rivals two. I think it was two episodes ago. Was another one of my favorite episodes with some woman named Jen Briney who talked about Congress, and I was like,
wow.
This is either going to be terrifying and depressing, or not funny, or I'm gonna kind of be. It's gonna be hard for me to keep my attention. None of that happened, and that's exactly what this one was. Because I don't know enough about magic to know. I know enough about. I
right.
thought I knew enough about magic on this episode that I'd be like, "Well, it's gonna be fine." And we didn't even talk about commander decks.
No,
so I'm gonna have to have you back.
Yeah, we didn't
talk
about
that.
And the other thing I thought we would talk about that we didn't get to is we touched on it, the culture.
Oh right, like, and or the core, the story.
Yeah, the lore.
Yeah, we didn't talk lore, we didn't talk culture, and we didn't talk commander deck.
Yeah, I think the lore, generally, the vibe is that it's disappointing. People wish it was better, and they tried to revamp it, and they tried to make the move. And I think they're, you know, I wish they get to a place where, like, the lore actually is, like, you need it.
I've written one competitive erotic fan fiction. You can write another.
Totally.
And then the lore will be made better. Because if people are having sex, people want to watch it.
Awesome.
Other than that, everybody, Dan Black at DBlack Attack and UCB LA, the Franklin one, has a bunch of great stuff November 30th that you're doing. And then just go look at his schedule, which may or may not be up to date.
Yeah.
Or just hit him up on Twitter at DBlack Attack.
Yeah, totally.
And at Dan Black Attack on Instagram. Thanks a lot for doing the show, man.
Oh, absolutely. It was a blast. All right. Come back and we'll do part two.
Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?